Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
OMG.
Is the Rich Eisen Show.
No other way to put it.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Oh my gosh.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm not talking to you. I talk to anybody out there, the haters.
Rich Eisen.
I talk to the haters right now.
Earlier on the show.
Brees throws and zone touchdown.
New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees. Coming up. NASCAR Cup Series champion Chase Elliott.
Touchdown Seahawks Tyler Lockett.
Plus, Seattle Seahawks wide receiver Tyler Lockett. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air in this crazy, crazy world that we're living in here in the week after Election Day in 2020. I am your humble host. We just had a great chat with Drew Brees. If you missed it, you can check it out right here on Peacock when we're done. You just go right up here to the sports tab, the drop down on Peacock, and check it out. Or you can visit our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. You could also go to our Twitter handle at Rich Eisen Show. We chop up a bunch of videos and place it there and give it to you for consumption at your leisure. Also, that's where you can find poll questions galore. Chris Brockman, top of hour number two, dressed like Cam Newton.
Cam Brockman.
Thank you.
Cam Brockman, because this is how Cam showed up for work yesterday. You don't have the leather zip up.
I don't have a leather jacket, but I did my best.
Right. Are you wearing ripped up jeans right now, though, like that or no?
No, I'm not a rip. I did wear jeans today, though, for the first time in probably 6-7 months.
This is part of the getup.
Part of the getup.
Got it?
Part of the getup.
Jeff Garcia called in, doesn't like your getup.
I got a couple words for Jeff Garcia.
What's your poll question over there?
Which three-win team, based on the Pats winning last night, has the best chance to sneak into the playoffs?
Yes.
Broncos, Pats, Vikings, Falcons. Vikings, resounding, 59%.
Right.
Should Rich Eisen get the hair surgery?
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely. No way.
Yes.
70-30 right now.
Is.
No way.
No way. Oh, the fans are speaking. Tiger Woods is speaking right now at Augusta National. He's wearing what looks like a Jacksonville Jaguar type teal. It's not a green sort of thing, but so it's Tuesday teal and then it's Sunday red for Tiger.
Absolutely.
That's what we're saying. Have the tee times come out yet?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Tee times are out.
Now, here's the question that I've been having for a while.
Okay.
Now that the Masters is going to be in November, and we have turned the clocks back a couple of Sundays ago, it's that time of year where it just stinks, where, you know, it's you think it's 9 o'clock at night, you look down, it's really 5:30 because it's getting dark.
It's brutal.
Okay, so how many times have we seen the green jacket put on and the light bulbs are flashing because it's getting dark,
yeah,
and it's 7:30 Eastern?
Right.
So they're going to have to get up really early. What's the earliest tee time that they have given out?
So the first tee times
6-something?
Are 7 a.m.
7 a.m.
7 a.m. local. It's Lucas Glover, Corey Connors, and CT Pan. They are going split tees at the Masters.
Okay.
So they're going a group at 1 and a group at 10.
Now, they've never done that, right? They don't usually do split tees, if I'm not mistaken.
Because the field is small. There's only 90-ish people.
But you gotta go.
Yeah, you got to go.
We got to get these guys going.
11-minute separations. So,
right.
You know, locally, that's 4 a.m. Pacific these guys are teeing off.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, that's probably when they're waking up locally.
Yeah.
You know, my philosophy when I play golf, I don't like warming up. I don't do the warm-ups. I don't like it. I just want to get out there. And that's part of the reason why I'm not good. I understand.
Yeah.
But I'm not a warm-up guy. Like, I will show up.
Yeah.
You know,
I want to do your warming up on the course. A couple holes in.
You know, many times my first swing is the first swing of the day.
Well, you're a natural.
So, for me, I would drive up Augusta National, you know, probably – eating my croissant sandwich at like 6:30 in the morning.
My croissant.
You know,
put your shoes on.
Go to the bag drop.
Yeah.
drop the bag.
Yep.
You know, make sure I have an extra box of balls because I'll probably lose about 9 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And plop, too. I mean, forget the pine straw. You're going to have all sorts of colored leaves on top of the pine straw. I'd probably lose a ball in the leaves on the ground. And so I would show up, you know, 6:30 for my 7 a.m. tee time. That's why I'm not in the Masters.
That's why you're not in the Masters.
Nope, nope.
Tiger's teeing off at 7:55, so he's in like...
But I'm saying, no, seriously, group. Like you're talking like a 4 a.m. wake up, right?
Yeah.
For these sure. guys, do their well, stretching, do all up, these yeah, exercises, stretch, all that stuff.
Go to the range for an hour at least, breakfast.
The routine, right? Yeah. All of that.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, all part of it. This is all part of the keen analysis we have here. And by the way, to all the executives watching on Peacock, if Golf Channel wants me to come on the air and give my keen analysis similar to what I just dropped, I'm all in. I'll do that.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what's the latest Tiger's ever shown up for a tee time. You know what I mean?
Like he overslept or something, like Tin Cup?
Yeah, he's over something like that. I wonder what it is. So that's the latest right there. Let's take a quick phone call. Our friend Kathy in Pennsylvania, in the great city of Philadelphia, is back. What's up, Kathy? I think we
hey,
spoke.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Kathy. Yeah, we spoke a week ago today. You're on your way to the polls to go vote.
And it turns out that Pennsylvania may have made a slight difference. So,
just a slight
you know,
one.
It seems we'll like see. It. You know, every vote counts.
To see if you're a factor. What's on your mind?
Well, two things. First, I wanted to give a quick shout out to Bill's Mafia. The current total that they've donated to Oshai's Children's Hospital is over $200,000.
No,
in honor of Josh Allen's grandmother who passed away on Saturday.
I saw that. You know, say what you will about Bill's fans or Mafia or how crazy they are, but you remember they donated a ton to Andy Dalton because he beat the Ravens to put the Bills in the playoffs. I mean, they are really amazing. They really are.
I agree. And so the reason I'm calling now is I'm a little perplexed, and I was hoping that you could help me kind of workshop through it.
Okay.
Hearing the feedback from Pete Carroll about Sunday's game, and no, I'm not talking about the fact that you didn't lone wolf the Bills on game day morning. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Carroll's comments that they had game planned for the run. And I remember when Marshall Faulk was on your show, he also commented that to stop the Bills, you got to stop the run. And I'm just a little confused as to what people are watching that are making them think the way to stop the Bills is to stop the run.
I don't know, because I have Devin Singletary in my fantasy league, and if I did have the fake hair we've been talking about, I'd have pulled it out. So, I mean, I honestly thought he was going to have a 1,000-yard season with maybe multiple – you know, with double-digit touchdowns, and I don't think he's scored yet this year.
And most of his work has been, you know, catching passes out of the backfield.
I know. So. And, you know, they've been running him in between the 30s, essentially, and then Zach Moss comes in, and it's really on the arm of Josh Allen and getting him on the turf if you can. I mean, that's essentially trying to confuse him and make him make throws that he shouldn't make. And there were a couple weeks where he was having problems like that. Obviously, playing Kansas City is tough, playing Kansas City in the manner in which they had to play them because of all the COVID madness. That was not easy. Same with the Titans. But, I don't know the answer to that other than the fact that that's the way to beat the Bills. Try and confuse Josh Allen and then and tear up the Bills defense if you can in the same manner that the Titans and the Chiefs did. That'd be about it to me. You take care of yourself. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Rich.
You got it. I don't know. I mean, it was just way off for Seattle. Left, right, up, down. I didn't recognize that Seahawks team. Tyler Lockett's on in hour number 3. We'll discuss it with him. Chase Elliott, who won the NASCAR Cup Series. He won the NASCAR Series Cup, pardon me. Won the championship in Phoenix at age 25. He will be joining us coming up in just about 10 minutes' time. I've got my four downs. You ready for my four downs?
I am ready for
Let's
four
downs. Let's do four downs right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Every single Tuesday, I give you four thoughts based on the latest in the National Football League. And my fourth and final thought is a hot take. So I allow myself a hot take every single week. Okay.
Hut! Hut!
Four downs with Rich.
Here we go.
Why did he something?
first down.
So, my first down. My first down is this. I know we're hearing the dulcet tones of NFL films, but can you play the sound I'm also hearing? Yeah. That's the sound of all the Steelers fans who want Mike Tomlin fired. Yep, right there. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. The insanity that happens a lot. Not this year. The insanity of Steelers fans who are like, I'm sick and tired of Mike Tomlin, X, Y, and Z. This guy's going to Hall of Fame. He's going to have a bust one day. And just like his predecessor is going to once COVID's all over, and just like his predecessors had for a long time. Mike Tomlin's a Hall of Fame coach. Last year, we all said it was maybe his best coaching job ever when he went 8-8 with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges and making a trade for Minka Fitzpatrick middle of the season, which, you know, obviously Kevin Colbert, the general manager, is in charge of all that. But Mike Tomlin, year in and year out, does the job. In going 8-0, not only have the Steelers set a franchise record for the best start. That's right, folks. Not even a single one of the Steel Curtain Pittsburgh teams started 8-0 like this one is. Now, I understand they might not be as good, that they don't pass this smell test. They went 8-0 in the last three games, in which the opponent had a chance to win at the end. You are what you are. What they are is 8-0. And by being 8-0, Mike Tomlin has already clinched a 14th consecutive non-losing season to start his career. 14 consecutive non-losing seasons. In terms of all time, that matches the mark that Marty Schottenheimer's held when he did it with the Browns and then the Chiefs. And I know Marty never won. This guy has. Again, the craziest thing I've heard maybe in the last 6 years doing this job are the chirps, and now I hear the crickets. That's first down. Now here's second down here on the Rich Eisen Show, here after week number nine in the National Football League. Don't bury the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, people. Oh. Don't do it. Don't you dare do it. Don't do it. They look terrible. I get it. They looked terrible. Brady's got everything set up the way that he likes it, and they still look terrible. And the defense got smoked. Bury the game. Don't bury the Bucs. Because Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to the playoffs, and they're probably going to go to the playoffs as the 5 seed. Who does the 5 seed play in the first round of the playoffs? Whichever team comes from the rotting, fetid corpse that's the National Football Conference Eastern Division. Tampa goes into Philadelphia. You tell me you're not taking Tom Brady in that game. You tell me that Brady, in his first playoff game as a Buck, is going to get one and done by a team that's got probably a 6 or 7 under the W column and that one under the T. Sorry. Don't bury him. There'll be a 5 seed going into Philly. Maybe even if everybody's lucky, you know, outside of Philadelphia, Dallas. Because I'd pay to see TB12 going to Dallas and play a playoff game.
Yeah, me too.
So, and then Tampa's going to wind up in the second round of the playoffs and maybe a third game against the Saints, and we'll be all sitting there, divisional playoffs, thinking about everybody who buried the Bucs because of what happened the last time they played the Saints. Don't bury them. Don't fall for that cheese, banana in the tailpipe. That's second down. Here's third down.
Third down.
Third down. You know, we say this quite a bit here, usually around Thanksgiving, but I'm going to call my shot here. In the middle of the season, we always like to talk about what game is materializing as the last game of the season on our friends on NBC. They always choose a game that's going to be a playoff game, de facto playoff game. Game 256 is it's the last regular season game. It is as if it's a playoff game. They want to choose something with so much on the line, certainly if they're lucky for both teams. Winner goes in, loser goes home. I don't know if that's going to happen in this one, but it's going to be for a lot of marbles. Because whoever wins the division, whoever doesn't might make the playoffs or not, or it reconfigures a lot of the seating. I'm going to call my shot here. Game 256, you know what smells like 256? Tua and the Dolphins in Western New York.
Oh, wow. For the AFC East?
For the AFC East.
Oh, baby.
Tua and the Dolphins at Josh Allen and the Bills. It's going to be about 0 degrees, and Tua's going to try and warm everybody up by the fire. And the Dolphins might have to go into Western New York where it's going to be freezing cold, but the Bills are going to be coming for bear, and, man, I cannot wait for that possibility.
Wow.
Keep an eye on that. Just keep that in your mind's eye as we move forward.
Here it comes. Man, I thought that was going to be the hot take, but no. Nope. Hot take still to come with the plank. Messed up. Let's
go. Not that much of a hot take that Miami and Buffalo might be for the AFC East. I mean, I looked at every other game, and, you know, Atlanta, Tampa doesn't reek of one. I mean, I could go up and down the list about week 17
Miami and
right
Buffalo
now.
Playing a meaningful game against each other is a hot take.
Exactly.
Is it really?
Anytime.
Not right now, I don't think. All right, fine.
I'm just looking at the last 20 years.
Then I'll give you a second hot take right here. You know, Bill O'Brien, as we know, lost his gig. Matt Patricia's not doing well in Detroit still. Josh McDaniels, as we all know, had his cup of coffee in Denver and then twitched in the direction of Indianapolis before going back. I mean, the number, again, of Bill Belichick's assistants, and Mike Vrabel is not one, by the way. He played for Belichick. He was never on Belichick's staff. He was on Bill O'Brien's staff. You might be able to put him under the Belichick family coaching tree if you wish, but that, you know, technically he never was a Belichick coach. I do not consider him a Belichick assistant. Which is why I'm saying right now, after just a year and a half on the job, Brian Flores of the Miami Dolphins will wind up one day being known as the best Belichick assistant ever. That is how he will be known. When it's all said and done, now that he has made the maneuver to Tua and will be attached, if you will, hip to surgically repaired hip with this kid, I'm calling my shot just 2 weeks into the Tua era in which the Miami Dolphins are 2-0, that this guy's got his finger firmly on the pulse of this team, and they are buying what he is selling, and he is selling a fantastic brand of football down there. I love the way that he is coaching. I love the way the defense looks, the special teams, and now the offense. This guy, when it's all said and done, will go down as the greatest Bill Belichick assistant ever. Now, you could sit here and say that's not a very high bar to leap, because it's always very difficult to take somebody off of Belichick's family tree and put him in your coaching staff because he's not Bill. It's all said and done. This guy might not wind up, obviously, with a boat of 8 rings in the Florida Keys, but I think he'll be known as the best Belichick assistant ever. That's my 4 downs.
I like it.
You like it all?
I like it.
That's your crickets on Mike Tomlin being fired. Could you believe, again, Steelers fans, get rid of him?
I mean,
please. The whole proverbial Rob 5 minutes Ryan would be 5 seconds for Mike Tomlin. 5 seconds for Coach Tomlin. 5. And I rain down my judgment right here on the Rich Eisen Show, and it comes down to that.
I'll rain down my judgment, and we'll move forward.
We will move
because
forward.
Because it's high on my damn agenda.
Yeah, that's why I put it number one of my downs. First down today. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Chase Elliott will join us. He's got himself a champion. He's got a chip. Tyler Lockett, hour number 3. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH as well here on the program. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Did you see our buddy Joey Molinaro's video?
About the
60 Minutes 60 reads
minutes
where people...
Really
where,
funny.
Well, I mean, we're, you know, doing mock 60 Minute reads that announcers say and then make terribly awkward transitions to the actual game.
Yeah.
I would hope he would think that we would do a better job as a group. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back here on our radio networks, rejoining us here on the NBC Sports on Peacock stream and on NBC Sports over the weekend. We talked to Drew Brees in hour one, as we saw the Sunday night game that wrapped up a Sunday that started with the coverage of the NASCAR Cup Series Championship won by this man, who appeared on this show is a more, if you will, fresh-faced individual. Last in 2016, when he was barely 21 years old, now he's a 25-year-old Cup champion. He is Chase Elliott. How are you? How you been, Chase?
Man, I've been good. Been a crazy couple weeks, and really been enjoying enjoying everything that's coming along with this.
What's your first racing memory, Chase Elliott? What's your first racing memory?
And after me, I started racing go-karts when I was 8-ish. And I remember some of those races, actually. Been going at it for a while.
Sure, absolutely. And now, you know, here you are. We're showing a picture of you in your daddy's arms as a little baby. Now here you are carrying on your family's tradition of winning the big race, winning a championship. What does it mean to you, Chase, now that you have won it?
Yeah, it's honestly just incredible. And I think a lot of it, you know, I really haven't had any time to myself since Sunday. So I'm really looking forward to just sitting down and reflecting on everything. It's obviously a really big deal and, you know, something that I really am going to enjoy and embrace and, I wish our off season was longer and you could enjoy it longer, but just trying to recognize everything that it represents.
Well, I mean, I don't mean to intrude in a time where you're looking forward to being alone. So let's act like it's just you and I and not a nationally televised streaming and radio audience. The fact that you have, in fact, won. I mean, after you started your career 0-for-98, and your family name also attached to all of this. What are you thinking? Like, let's just linger on this for a moment, if you don't mind.
Yeah, for Chase. Sure. I think you know a big one. I've thought about some over the past couple of weeks is really just the road to that first win was long and kind of bumpy at certain points in time, had some great opportunities and wasn't able to get it done. So you know, I think some of those tough days and some of those tough losses that were a part of that journey, I really feel like helped sculpt and help prepare our team and myself for big moments like this weekend and last weekend. So, you know, when you're living those tough days, it's no fun, but to see the big picture now, obviously all that stuff happened for a reason.
What was it like celebrating with your dad in Victory Lane, Chase? What was that
like?
Yeah,
so great to have me and my mom there. You know, they've been a massive piece of my racing career. Obviously wouldn't be where I'm at without them and the sacrifice they've made. So, yeah, grateful they were there and you know, we could enjoy that as a family.
Is there anything you could share, the conversations, again?
Yeah, just a lot of excitement, to be honest. I mean, it's a lot of emotion and you know, like I said, a lot of sacrifice has been made over the years, and they've, played a huge role in this. So, yeah, just a lot of excitement shared, for sure.
Chase Elliott here on the Rich Eisen Show. The fact, again, that this was done in a pandemic, too, has got to be something for your entire crew, a reason to celebrate. Obviously, we're always looking for anything positive in this crazy world right now. What were the challenges that you and your crew went through this year to get all this, Chase?
Yeah, you know, we just kind of kept fighting. You know, I think about our season, and it was just you could write a novel, I feel like, on our year. Started off really good. Felt like we started the year as strong as we've ever been in my Cup career, and I was really, really excited. Had the COVID break and came back, and I feel like we kept that momentum. Everything was going just as good. And then, you know, about a month after we got back from the COVID break, it seemed like guys were starting to get better and we had kind of fallen off some. And we spent, I thought, the majority of the summer months struggling, not running very good and just wasn't really hitting on anything. And then about the time the playoffs started, we, you know, just got better fundamentally, you know, nothing over the top, but just, you know, small improvements in different areas on the car and added up to be performance here, performance there, and had a couple good tracks for us with Martinsville and the Roval. You know, having two good races, had a little momentum and had a shot at it. So Everything worked out.
And then obviously, you know, championship week comes and the race comes and two pre-race inspections don't go your way. You got to start from the back. What was that challenge like for you?
Yeah, you know, I think having your car balanced well and having a good team around obviously can make up for starting in the back. I mean, the good news was we still kept our pit pick, and so we had our pit stall as if we qualified first, which, you know, is a big deal, and I really felt like that pit selection was probably more important than the starting position itself. So just went to work, and luckily the car was in the ballpark, and we could fine-tune on it, and we did, and hit it right for the last run, so can't ask for much more than that.
Chase Elliott here on the Rich Eisen Show, just a couple of weeks shy of your 25th birthday. How many of these are you thinking you can win? Let's start counting future here. Come on now.
I'm going to enjoy the heck out of this one, man. I'm not even thinking about next year right now, but yeah, it's, you know, looking forward to the holidays and, you know, Thanksgiving and spending a lot of time around family and friends. So enjoying it, man. I'm not getting ahead of myself today.
All right. Who did you hear from after winning it all, Chase, that that might be of interest to people out there? Curious.
Yeah. Who did I hear from? You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to name names in particular.
Come on, Chase. There is no I in Chase. There may be one in Elliott, though.
Yeah.
So come on now. Come on.
That's tough. But, you know, I to come home to what I came home to yesterday, it was really cool. And got to share a picture from the weekend on Instagram, and a lot of great support on there too. So, man, it's you don't realize how many people pay attention to this stuff until something like this happens. So, really cool, and grateful for a lot of great support.
Anybody from racing history? Anybody from other sports who reached out to you?
Yeah, you know, one that sticks out, I'll share. Daniel Ricciardo reached out. He's an F1 driver. You know, and that's a discipline that I certainly respect and look up to. So from another area, that's a cool one I'll share with you guys. And he, you know, was kind enough to say congrats.
Now, you know, obviously, your relationship with Jimmy Johnson we know about, but what were his two cents on you winning as he's heading off into the into retirement here?
Yeah, you know, the cool thing about Jimmy is, you know, he's just, heck, I feel like he was a big of a fan and pulling for us harder than anybody. And, you know, you don't see that much out of competitors. And he's just one of those guys that's just genuine. And, you know, he was genuinely happy for us. And you don't get that every day in a person like him. So just a good dude. And he was just so, so excited for us and couldn't ask for anything more.
How heavy is the trophy?
The trophy's heavy. The trophy is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing pictures and stuff, and my little arms, I need to get in the gym, I guess. I had to take some breaks.
Well, I mean, this is something that could definitely work on your traps, you know, your tries.
Yeah. No, it's a serious piece of metal.
Yeah. I mean, so did it get its own seat on the way home? Where is it?
Well, you know, I don't really know where that thing went because
– Oh, come on.
It didn't come home with me, so I'm going to have to get it here at some point. I guess they have to box it up, and you know they don't want to get broke. So
yeah,
well, that's probably good. Let's not break it.
Well, it looks like something you could sleep in, honestly. Like you could tuck yourself in the top.
No,
it's
nice. It's nice.
Oh my gosh! So right now, you, Chase Elliott, do not know the whereabouts of this trophy right now, as you and I are talking.
It's somewhere between North Carolina and Phoenix. Somewhere between the two,
all
I
right.
would say.
Amanda, did it ask? Do you have a tracking number?
I don't have a tracker number, but I trust the people at NASCAR because I think they're the last ones that had it. So I don't think they're going to lose that. They've toted it around all year. Surely they ain't going to lose it now.
All right. Very good. Hey, Chase, like I said, you were here. I know we spoke earlier this year on the phone, but you are here as a 20-year-old man. About 4 years ago, we're showing a photograph of it right now. I look different. You don't. But that's okay. That's what aging in this world really is. What if I told you on that day as you're walking out the door you were going to be the 2020 champion? What would you have said to that?
I probably said you're crazy. Man, I just think about the beginning of this road here in Cup and a lot of the things that have come along with it. You know, I mentioned some of those tough losses and days leaving the racetrack ready to go crawl in a hole. And, you know, to have things kind of work out this year really is nothing short of amazing. And, you know, just grateful for all the lessons I've learned over these first 5 years. So, yeah. Things can change fast, I suppose.
No doubt about it. And I guess last one for you, is it fair to use the word relief as an emotion you're feeling?
Yeah, I think there's a sense of that for sure. You know, I've never ended a NASCAR season and been like just fulfilled, because you're always wanting more, right? You're always wanting to be the guy. So if you're not the guy, you're not going to be fulfilled. So yeah, I'm just so proud and can enjoy a winter knowing that there was nothing else we could do this year. And that's all you can ever dream of entering an off season with.
Well, congratulations, man. There's only three father-son combinations to both win a NASCAR championship: Lee and Richard Petty, Ned and Dale Jarrett, and now you and your dad, the Elliotts. Congrats.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
You got it. You take care, Chase. That's Chase Elliott right here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Petties, the Jarretts, and the Elliotts. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, man.
Isn't that great?
It's pretty awesome.
You know? I mean, I can only imagine.
He started racing when he was 8.
Right. I can only imagine the pressure I would have felt if my dad had won a French teaching championship, and that was the endeavor I went into. Yeah.
Are you fluent in French?
Un peu.
Oh, bonjour. Je m'appelle TJ.
Bon appétit.
Je m'appelle Chris.
Bon appétit.
I don't know.
Chase Elliott's also that guy, when you look at his picture and then you hear that voice, you're like, wait a second, that doesn't seem like it should be coming out of that.
What's he sound like, Mike Tyson?
No, he was very deep baritone.
I don't know. Yeah. Sounds like a kid from Dawsonville, like his dad.
He just looks so young, though.
That's awesome.
He is.
Yeah.
He is young.
I didn't even have a driver's license when I was 25.
He's younger than
my home. Wait, hold on a second. What did you just say?
You heard me correctly. I did not have a driver's license when I was 25.
What?
When did you take your first driving exam?
Okay, you want to know something funny?
I think we've already learned something funny, but if you want to put a few more meat on bones here.
I learned how to drive. My coworker, Lee Assini, Lee Recchio, taught me how to drive in her BMW through Beverly Hills when I moved to Los Angeles. I didn't have a
driver. When did you move to Los Angeles?
1999.
Okay, because I was about to say, some BMW cut me off in 2003.
That was TJ.
That wasn't me, yeah. Okay. Lee taught me how to drive in a BMW in Beverly Hills, and I always thought that was the weirdest thing in the world. Living in Pittsburgh, the public transportation is so amazing. We have buses and subways and trolleys that take you from Mount Washington to downtown, which is what I would always use. So the need for a car isn't like it is out here in L.A. where everything's so spread out. So I just never did it.
I couldn't imagine.
What?
Like, so in high school, you didn't, you know, you were hitching rides and stuff like that?
I mean, all of my schools in Altoona were within a two-mile walk of my house. I walked to elementary, which I could see my elementary school from my bedroom window.
Yeah.
My junior high was like a 6-block walk from my house. And then the high school, I mean, I got rides to high school, but that was like a 25-minute walk.
What about if you went on a date?
Oh, good
in
question.
In Pittsburgh? Like, we would just, she'd either drive or we'd take the bus, dude.
But she didn't think it was weird that you're a grown man without a driver's license?
Telling you, when you're living in a place where the public transportation is so great, like in New York, you'd hop on the train. You wouldn't drive in New York.
Okay.
I have a lot of friends who live in New York City who don't own cars, but they still have driver's licenses.
The reason why they don't own cars in New York City is because, it costs more to house the car than yourself sometimes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And plus, I always had, like, because of that fact, wherever I lived, especially once I, like, went to college and everything, when I lived in Pittsburgh, my crib was always, like, the hangout spot for all my friends. So wherever I was, was, like, that's where all the boys would come and chill. So that was another thing. Like, I didn't have to go anywhere. My spot was always, you know, where we kicked it at. Wow.
So I just spoke to a 24-year-old NASCAR champion. Yeah. And I'm looking at a guy who at age 25 hadn't even driven a car.
No, I drove. Like, I once drove from...
I once drove from Long Beach. Hold on a second. What is the statute of limitations on what he's about to say right here?
I lived on... my buddy John Siciliano lost his leg in a car wreck when we were in college. He saw a guy running, decided he wanted to learn how to run, and they had the top prosthetic doctor in the country was in Manhasset.
What does this have to do with driving?
Well, I'm going to tell you. We moved to Long Beach for a summer while he could get his leg worked on, and then we had to drive back home. And the thing was—
So you drove.
He drove the moving van. I had to drive his girlfriend's car. I didn't have a license. I drove from Long Beach to Pittsburgh, and that was the first time I really ever drove more than like a mile.
Oh, my God. Cross country.
Well, not cross country.
Long Beach to Pittsburgh is across the United States.
Long Beach, Long Island.
Oh, okay. I thought here in California. Not Long Beach, California. My bad. Yeah.
That's a Cannonball Run right there. No. Cannonball Run you're doing.
Wow,
that's still insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm an excellent driver now.
So, again,
you know
let's just put a button on this then. How old are you now?
I'm in there, man.
How old are you now?
I'm 40-ish.
So you're not yet 50?
No.
Okay. So you have actually lived more time on the planet without a driver's license than with one.
Maybe 21 years. 20. Yeah.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know what to say other than the fact.
There's no shame in that.
No, there's no shame. There's a lot of shame.
A lot of shame, Rich. Just a lot.
Hey, I'm a tremendous driver now, though. Okay. Don't get it twisted.
All right, Rain Man.
Excellent driver. Charlie Babbitt's my brother.
844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Tyler Lockett, still to come. Your phone calls. Jerry Jones has spoken. Chris Brockman's news update and more. Don't go anywhere.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Is open. Go to richeisenstore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve in white or heather gray. We've got hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to richeisenstore.com and shop your head off right now.
Rich Eisen Show, richeisenstore.com. Go there right now. Masks and mask up. I test drove the mask myself. They are thumbs
question,
up.
Do we get discounts on this? Because I rock a mask, but I don't want to pay full price either. You know. I'm just saying.
I don't know. We haven't established a show policy yet.
All right. Well,
TJ,
let's look into that. And then
TJ, I'm the king of swag. I'll take care of you. We'll work on it.
You need to have gotten a driver's license like a normal person, normal age, before you get discounts.
One has nothing to do with the other.
And he's wearing your sunglasses and chain.
Yeah, I mean, the disrespect and the fact that I stand up for his like little wardrobe every week.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our radio network. Stand up for his cam wardrobe every week.
You crap on him, and I hype him up. You know,
thank you. It's only the third time I've gotten it.
I know.
That's true.
He hasn't been able to wear it.
I really
it a
thought
lot.
I'd be at 5 or 6.
You should be 5 right now. Let's be honest. You should have 5 wins.
Well, I mean, if they had run, could you imagine that sliding door, to use the pop culture phrase, if Cam had gotten it in the end zone against Seattle?
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
and then
Seattle wouldn't be in first place right now. And
if Cam hadn't gotten
the Patriots
COVID,
would be 500.
They were in the game against KC with
I don't know if the
backup.
If you are, you know, let's do some complete dumbass speculating. Then great setup.
Let's go.
No, but honestly, like if you're saying that Cam had not contracted COVID-19 and had shown up in Kansas City on a Sunday, on the regularly scheduled Sunday.
Like how he had played the week before in Seattle.
It would have been a better game against Kansas City. They could have actually won that game.
They would have had a better shot at winning.
They certainly would have had a better end of first quarter than Brian Hoyer delivered, where he lost the track of timeouts and all sorts of stuff like that. Or the Chiefs would have begun to expose the Patriots in the manner that everybody else began to. That's the greatest mystery, because Cam has not said, hey, I'm not the same. I'm not feeling as well as
I used to. He didn't look the same for a few games.
Well, neither did Edelman. Neither did anybody else. And last night, Stephon Gilmore missed a second consecutive game. And I don't know if you want to check his Zillow or check something over there.
You're supposed to get. Yeah.
He's asking for bids on his house an hour after the trade deadline. Very strange. That you ask for a deadline, you place a deadline on bids in your house. Normally, it's just like, who's going to pay me the most? The whole thing with the Patriots this year has just been, first month, we're like, Cam, re-sign him, long term. Then it's just disappeared. And last night, they needed everything to go their way towards the end, and the Jets to do what they did by getting just a mere 4 snaps of the football off on offense in the fourth quarter. 1 for an interception that put the Patriots back on the field after a 17-play drive, brought them within a touchdown, which they scored, and then a 3-and-out to put Cam.
Where Hoffa was buried, as I put in the sign today, then of the Jets trying to ice Nick Folk last night. There was no chance that was going to happen.
I don't know. I mean, where do you stand on that? If I'm a coach, do you do one of those last second things? I'd be like, okay, the one time I try to ice the kicker at the last second to try and flip him out is the time that he actually misses it.
Yeah, and then he's going to make now, the next
and then,
one.
And then he makes the next one because you've given him a practice swing of the leg and he got the yips out. Now I don't normally have a kicker on the show to interview. Yeah. Like, how does the ice actually affect the kicker?
I'm just saying the Jets didn't want to win that game.
You know, like if the kicker is iced and you're like, oh, you just messed with me and I just made it. So now here I am. The pressure's on more. I'm thinking about it, even though this is all I do all the time. And all I do all the time is something that's repeatable. And as long as the snap's fine and the laces are out, I got it.
Or
is it just like, you know, please ice me, because if I miss it, that means I know what I did wrong and I'll fix it for the next time. I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm kind of anti-icing.
Ryan in Pennsylvania, let's take your phone call here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
I'm watching on Peacock. It's pretty great.
Attaboy. Tell all your friends.
So my best friend in the whole entire world is a Jets fan. His name is Peter. And he texted me this morning and he said, I went to bed and the Jets were up by 10.
Yes.
And then I woke up and they lost. And I thought, if that is not the epitome of a Jets fandom experience, I do not know what is.
Well, I don't know why he would go to sleep. I mean, you know, I don't know why he would go to sleep. And any Jet fan knows that nothing's ever taken for granted.
But anyways, I have a question about the rule related to down by contact. On the second to last play of the game, when Cam throws the 25, 30-yard pass to Myers, I think with about 7 seconds left, the Myers catches the ball and he goes down right away, and the Jets players all swarm him and touch him,
yes,
thus ruling him down, and the Patriots are allowed to take a timeout and win the game, essentially. What would happen if the Jets wouldn't have touched him with more time gone off the clock?
No.
Not allowed
it's interesting,
the Patriots to call that timeout.
Interesting you point that out, because I saw that on Twitter last night. There is a rule where you give yourself up at the play is over. So all basically Jacoby Myers had to do is just catch it and just sit there for a second or two. And they had enough time on the clock to do that. Now, if there was only 1 second to go, the time could have absolutely run off. But thanks for the call. But, yeah, I saw that on Twitter last night. Dumb Jets. They actually touched him, which ended the play. And if they had stayed away from him, the clock would have completely run out. I think that rule got changed, if I'm not mistaken. You remember when Eli fell forward? And got hit when he was down and the ball came out. And because he didn't slide, he was still, even though he didn't slide and give himself up, he went forward and nobody touched him mm-hmm. when he went forward. And he fumbled the ball as he hit the ground. And that was ruled a fumble. I think they changed the rule to say quarterbacks who go down face forward or runners who go down face forward and haven't been touched and don't move is now decided to give themselves up. I might not be fully buttoned up on the details of all of it, but I do believe there was an Eli Manning fumble with him falling forward, not sliding, that changed the rule. I'm almost sure of that. So the Jets can be blamed for a lot last night, but that ain't one of them. That's not one of the things to blame him for. The rule is he was down because he was giving himself up. So some teams coming off a bye this week to take a look at that is right out there for everybody to stare at. How about Rams in Seattle this week coming up, Chris? Your thoughts on that?
Oh, baby.
Rams in Seattle coming up. Seattle getting boat raced like that. We'll talk to Tyler Lockett coming up in the next hour. Rams and Seahawks. That is a big, huge-ass Week 10 football game.
And Rams off of a bye where they got beat by Miami. Didn't look great.
Smoked. Both teams coming off of getting spanked by AFC East teams in a week in which everybody slags in the AFC East because Brady just got swept by a divisional opponent for the first time. That's a big Week 10 game.
That's a huge game.
I'm already looking over the steering wheel. And then there's Arizona and Buffalo, man. That is going to be dynamite.
What is Sunday Night Football this week?
Sunday Night Football this week is New England hosting Baltimore.
Oh, jeez. Why wouldn't they flex out of that?
Why would they? Why wouldn't they?
That game is going to be terrible.
How do you know?
Okay. Well, when Monday morning when we come in and it's 38-10.
And I'm dressed like Lamar? And you're not dressed like Cam?
Exactly.
By the way, I'm dressed like Joe Flacco today.
Danny Dimes.
And then there's Mauve.
They couldn't flex Seahawks Rams into that Sunday night spot? Come on.
How about Arizona's next four games? Buffalo at Seattle, at New England, home for the Rams.
Oof. Oh, we're going to find out if they're a playoff team or what.
Yep. Then they've got two against the NFC East, Giants and Eagles, at Giants, home for Eagles, San Francisco, and then at the Rams to finish things up. This is a team that could have been in first place if they had somehow, someway, had their kicker split the uprights, force overtime, and win it.
Man, they're going to wish they had that win.
Although Tua had some time left on. I mean, don't talk about robbing us of. That field goal robbed us of a Tua potential comeback.
Or
Tua getting the ball to a potential comeback or overtime. Tua would have won that game. Again, I know what everybody says about Tua.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, folks. I think you're right on the money.
You can already see it. A lot more about it. Everybody's going to hear a lot more about it. Honestly, I gave Drew Brees a shot earlier today to say quarterbacks 24 and under. Which one whose game is it that you say, I'll take that game? And the reason why I chose 24 and under is that takes Mahomes out of the mix. Because, you know, why wouldn't you want to say, I'll take Mahomes? He's got a $1 billion contract and a $1 billion arm. Who's the first quarterback? Brees is like, give me some names, right? I gave him a whole bunch of names. He chose Tua. And he's like, I haven't seen a lot from him yet, but. Dude, it's all coming. It's all coming. And Justin Herbert's next. That's a great football game. Okay? With the ultimate of respect. All due respect. Going into the season, we're like, who knows when these kids are going to start? Tyrod Taylor versus Ryan Fitzpatrick. Who's tuning in?
I mean, yes, I feel you.
Justin
With all
Herbert
due respect to
versus
those two
Tua.
Guys, of course.
Justin Herbert versus Tua. Who's tuning in? That would be me.
Me.
That might get top center TV billing at my house.
Ooh, that'll be me. And then it's just like karma coming out of Tua's ears and left hand, and the Chargers, where they've got to go, I don't know. There's got to be a seance. They've got to find whatever's going on.
I thought moving to Los Angeles in a new stadium was supposed to clean them
clean
of those
the
demons,
house.
Man.
Get that old lady from Poltergeist and clean the house. I don't know what it is.
I have exorcised the demons.
I don't know. Again, it's Anthony Lynn's a good dude. It's not his karma. I don't know what's going on, man.
We know whose karma it is.
Shut up. I mean, who in the world is not going to watch that game? And then Drew Lock is next. And then Sam Darnold, whose shoulder hurts. I hope he comes back for that game. I want to see Tua versus Darnold. And then it's Mahomes. After Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, week 13. Tua Burrow, like, they should bring back Vern Lundquist to call that game.
Right? And Gary Danielson?
Gary, you know. Get Nestler in the booth. It's going to be a CBS game. They should let the SEC guys call it.
That would be awesome. Wow.
It's in December, right? I mean,
get the Nance Romo treatment?
I don't think so. I don't know. I'm not looking at the rest of the schedule. Give it to the SEC crew. Why not? Just a little idea for my friends at the Tiffany Network. I still have my CBS blazer in the back.
Yes, you do.
Just giving you an idea. Give that game to the SEC crew. Could you imagine the Dolphins, like I said, win the next four, and they're 9-3 on an 8-game win streak going into Kansas City? That would break you. Oh, Tua at Kansas City? Or is it Kansas City at Tua?
Must see TV.
It's Kansas City at Tua. Oh, man. I mean, book the Fountain Blue Hotel for Nance and Romo on that one. I'm just throwing it around. Book the old Clevelander.
I mean, I'm looking at week 13. It might be Romo and Nance.
Easily the most Dolphins football we've talked about in the history of our show. Facts. And we're 6 years old. Tyler Lockett of the Seahawks coming up right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back on Peacock in just a second.
Hi, this is Chris Myers. For more than three decades, I've covered some of the biggest events in sports and talked with some of the most fascinating personalities. But now I want to invite you to join me for my new podcast, CMI, The Chris Myers Interview on Podcast One. Covered a lot of events, World Series, Red Sox, White Sox breaking through at their time. The Super Bowl as recently as Mahomes and the Chiefs coming back against the 49ers. I was there to grab Brady after he had that tremendous comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl. And some tough times, the 89 earthquake World Series that rocked the Bay Bridge, and first to talk to O.J. Simpson live after both of his trials, and on the air through the 1996 Atlanta Olympic bombings, informing people as best we could at the time. We'll go in-depth on stories past, present, and future to the effect of the world of sports and everybody in and around it, from current athletes, Hall of Famers, and some people you and I know. Hope you tune in to CMI, The Chris Myers Interview, on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.